You're listening to a celebration of the best moments in Dory Monson's show history. For more information on the life and career of our dear friend Dory, please visit MyNorthwest.com. Producer Jake sat in there, and that's chair right there to the left of me. And for the longest time, you got an opportunity to sit with a guy, and how would you describe it?
I think my job was basically to say something quick and get out.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I had an opportunity to make him laugh or to do something a little unexpected or kill time with him. Uh-huh. That's basically what we did. We just got paid to hang out on the air and have fun. I mean, honestly, it was like, it was the greatest job. It was the greatest job ever.
He wasn't easy to share the stage with, though.
No, no. I was just telling you this off the air. I think the reason, I don't know if I get, I guess it's fine to say it, but like, I think the reason that we got along so well, you know how competitive Dory was.
Oh, yeah.
I did not want his job. And it wasn't my aspiration to host his show, you know? And so I think he felt like, all right, this guy's, I'm comfortable with this guy coming in. And like everybody you probably talked to, he was the best mentor in the world. The whole way down here, I'm just like trying to figure out how to like brace myself so I don't cry the whole time. He was just the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
And so I had the opportunity to come in here and literally just have fun with somebody who was basically like a big brother for years. For almost 8 years. And we got along real well. Very lucky.
Set this up. Dory gets a cramp.
This one this one didn't is not ringing a bell, honestly.
No? It's 224.
Maybe just play it. Let's just
hear
it.
All right. Up next in the Fastest 15. For some reason, Will Ferrell decided to write... Hold on a second. I'm starting to get one of those horrible cramps in my leg right now.
I was wondering what you're doing. You started moving in a weird way.
Oh, oh man.
Are you okay?
Oh, I got a cramp right now. Like, you can't believe. I'm serious.
Stretch it out.
Oh, man.
You want some milk with salt? Oh, isn't that the fix? It's milk with salt. Any milk, Aaron? Are you okay?
Yeah. Oh, man. Once in a while, you know, we
thought you were having a seizure or something. All of a sudden, you jump out of your seat and you start stretching your leg in this a really weird way.
This is happening more and more. Because we play basketball on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. We had a really hard 2-hour run last night. And the thing is, since you started playing and Brady from My Northwest, who's 25 years old, he's playing. And the game is more up-tempo than it used to be. And I'm running more than I was before you guys started playing. So about, I think it was a Friday 2 weeks ago. I'm sound asleep in bed. It's about 3:30 in the morning. I'm sound asleep in bed. And I get this cramp. My wife bolts up and goes, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I couldn't talk. It hurt so bad. And she, my poor wife, she said, you know, she's been sound asleep. She wakes up to this and she goes, "Is it your heart? Is it your heart?
Are you dying? Tell me if you're dying."
Oh, man.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Is it starting to,
loosen up here? Oh, man.
You should, I don't know, massage. I won't do it for you, but maybe massage it out.
Yeah, would you come rub it out here?
No.
Oh, man.
Aaron's got great hands. Maybe he can do it.
That's a first. I've been doing this show for 17 years, and that's the first time. Oh, I'm crying here. That's the first time I've gotten a paralyzing leg cramp on the air. Oh, man.
the Dory Monson burp. That's somewhere. Nicole has that. I'm trying to find that one.
Can I just say real fast about that cramp thing? The thing that he hated more than anything would be to not be perfect at this job.
Yeah.
He worked. You've mentioned this all morning. You guys are doing, by the way, an amazing job doing this. But the thing that he wanted to do more than anything was to just be the best radio host he could possibly be. And that was like his personality. Back to the competitiveness. That was his personality in everything. It was, in anything he was doing, he just wanted to be the best at it. And so for him to get a cramp on the air and to embarrass himself is like the worst for him. So, yeah, we have more stuff like that, I'm sure, to play.
Well, I have you and Dory arguing about birds. Because remember, you said this job is nothing more than sit here with your friend and say something every once in a while and have a laugh.
Yeah.
Do you remember this? Arguing about birds?
Sounds right.
Every time I walked outside, whether I was going to my car, they would start screaming from the trees and they'd fly in from all over and they would circle, but only for me. Because
and you're positive it was just for you?
I am absolutely positive.
Hand to God.
I am certain of it. Yes, absolutely.
How would they even know, though?
Because
after 3 months, how would they know?
They knew. I don't know how. The same way they can use sticks to manipulate rocks to drop a bigger stick to get a piece of food.
So you're telling me that that crow that you murdered him.
Yes.
His friends saw. Pass that story down to their family members through some sort of an oral history.
Yes.
And then they targeted you for months afterwards.
I bet you our listeners will actually, I bet there will be emails from people who will have stories that
it's
are similar to mine.
It's a great cautionary tale, but I don't believe it happened.
It's absolutely true.
I don't believe it.
When have I ever lied? I've never lied.
There's no way a murder of crows would spread that message.
They did.
And that they would then target you.
I swear to you.
How would they even know?
Check the emails when
they saw you take
the
shot.
One of them did, and let everybody know.
He believed that, by the way. And I have told that story since. That's something that I have now told my children. I was like, crows remember. Don't do something in front of a crow.
And they tell others.
And they tell other crows. No, he believed that with his whole heart.
Yeah.
That those crows were targeting him.
What do you say to the people out there that, because there are people that really hate Dory.
Yeah.
And when you used to meet people and they, what do you do for a living? Oh, I work at Cairo Radio. What do you do? Oh, I produce.
Hiss at me.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't. Some did, yeah.
And how would you explain to them that, you know...
Who Dory was?
Yeah. Would you feel a need to sort of protect him or to explain him or to convert somebody?
Yeah, he didn't need me to protect him. He was a very big personality and he was a big boy and he knew what this job was and he didn't need that. But I cared about him deeply. And so if somebody had a bad opinion of him that I thought was maybe uninformed, I was happy to let them know from my own personal experience what kind of guy he was. And, you know, as loud as he was, you've mentioned this a few times this morning, but like as loud as he was on the air, it's the opposite of that off the air. He was a quiet, like he and his wife met me and my wife like a couple months ago. We went out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We walk into this restaurant and the first thing that happens is two guys from across the restaurant, Dory Monson, and they run over and they say hi. He was so red-faced and embarrassed. He just doesn't want to be he did not want to be recognized, you know?
Yeah.
He was happy, and he sat, and the guy sat down at our table and talked with us, and it was fun and fine. But, like, he was just a sweet, quiet guy who was very good at this job.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody else said this morning, if you listened to him long enough, you did know him, you know? I mean, he was a genuine, authentic guy. And so...
Why did he irritate people so much?
He had strong opinions, and he wasn't afraid of his strong opinions, and especially, you know, in certain areas, they're not popular opinions. But he didn't shy away from them. He always had an argument for why he believed those things. He always had the courage of his conviction. And I think sometimes that rubbed people the wrong way. Especially in this day and age. People don't like hearing things that they don't already know.
Yeah.
And so...
But as the producer, when he would say something... And then he'd say to you, Jake, get them on the phone. See if they come on the phone.
Yeah.
You would then have to call somebody, some politician. And what were the people, what would they say when you would say, I'm calling for the Dory Monson show?
They'd say bye. They would. Nobody want to talk to him because he's a very effective communicator. And he had he had a reason behind all of his ideas. Everything he said, he had a reason behind it.
Yeah.
And he was happy to debate with people, even if they were of a differing opinion. He didn't care. He was happy to talk to you about it and suss it out. And the two of you would come to some understanding, always well-intentioned and a nice guy. He never did it in a bullying, mean way.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, a lot of times people who get into public office or whatever, they don't want to hassle with him because he confronts them on things that maybe they're not super excited to talk about.
Right. Plus, they don't gain anything.
What do they gain from it? Yeah.
You ever had anybody say yes to come on and then you're thinking, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. Which was my job. You win more friends with honey or whatever, flies with honey.
If you want flies.
If you want flies. I don't know why you're winning flies. You catch more flies with honey.
If flies are your only friends.
Yeah. You know. No, but he would have me call on things that were ridiculous and he knew they weren't coming on. And I think sometimes he even would set me up to call just so he could listen to me call them or hear the story about how I called them. And then
we might have an example of something like that.
Yeah.
That's the Dory and the you called, was it Sound Transit or somebody? This was about Bertha him wanting to chain himself
to the pit.
Do you remember when Bertha was being made? There was a promise that it was going to cost a certain amount of money and then it ended up costing like 10 times that or whatever it was. And so he was a big proponent that this should be done the right way and he didn't feel it was being done the right way. And so when it was about to break through the tunnel or whatever it was, he wanted me to call and make a proposal to them on how he would be there for that.
Okay.
Here's what Dory would love to do if you guys are up for it. He wants to, he's obviously, you know, Dory. Yeah. Okay. What he would love to do if you guys are up.
What's wrong?
I don't recall if we were allowed to use the other end of this phone conversation. Were we? Is there a person on there?
The audio that I have does not feature anybody but your voice.
Okay,
yeah,
so we were told after the call
that
we could not use that person's voice.
Okay.
And so we had to cut that call out. So what you're going to hear is, I think, if my memory serves, this is just my half of the conversation making a request.
Okay, here, so back it up.
Yeah. What he would love to do, if you guys are up for it, would it be possible for him to come down on the day that Bertha is supposed to get through the concrete? He would love to. I feel stupid even asking this. He wants to strap himself to the concrete. He doesn't believe that Bertha is going to make its way through, so much so that he's willing to bet his life on it.
Is there a second piece to it? Do we want to strap himself to the concrete?
That's the same thing. Yeah.
And he was... I think he was being genuine. I think he would have done it, and we would have strapped him into the concrete, and it would have been. I think it would have been fine because I don't think it made it through that day.
I don't think it did either. Do you remember when he got zapped? Is this where he got tased?
Yeah, he got tased. I don't remember why he set this up or how he got talked into. Or I'm sure he volunteered to do it. I'm sure it was his idea. But right through that glass there, somebody came in and he offered to tase him. So he said, yeah, let's do it.
Can we read a letter that someone, just before we play it, someone remembering what their version of it.
Okay.
Area code 253. My favorite Golden Dory Monson moment was when he got himself tased on air. As soon as the tasing started, he went into Homer Simpson mode with a string of do's. He and I were probably the only ones who laughed about it, though. Thanks to the Cairo family for sharing him with us. So
we'll be listening for the do's.
Here we go.
Jeez.
Three, two, one,
zap him.
No, no, go, go.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Holy criminy. That is really.
Okay. Dory.
All right.
You should have seen the look on your face.
Oh, man.
Why did he agree to do that? He just wanted to see what it was like to be tased?
I guess. No, I can't remember why he would do it.
He ended up also jumping out of an airplane. Do you remember when he did that?
I do. And he had the idea of being mic'd up while he was going to do it.
He's bungee jumping.
And there is nothing below me but 140 feet of air.
Okay.
What
I'm going to do, I'm going to go 3, 2, 1 bungee.
Yeah.
I just want you to fall forward head first, okay?
Okay.
Like you're falling into bed, all right?
All right.
And when you see that water coming towards you, keep your hands way above your head.
Okay.
You might just touch with your hands, okay?
Okay. I want my listeners to know what I'm doing for my art here. All right.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really incredible.
So what we're going to do it right away on bungee.
God, I've never shaken like this in my life. Okay.
Are you ready?
I am not ready. Okay. All right, gang, let's do it.
All you gotta do is fall forward head first. Ready?
Head first, arms above my head.
Ready? Three,
two, one. Bungee! Oh, I am going down! The cord cut! My hands did not touch the water! I'm springing up near the bridge! Free fall again! Down near the water! I did it! Here's a third free fall down to the water! Oh, I feel like every ounce of blood is in my head, and I, honest to goodness, did not think I could do this. Oh, oh, my word. This is by far the most exhilarating thing I have ever done in my entire life.
Jake, thanks.
This has been a pleasure to come down and just be here again. He was a special guy.
Celebrating the life and career of Dory Monson. You're listening to the very best of the Dory Monson Show.
Enjoy this celebration of the life and career of Dory Monson. You're listening to the best of the Dory Monson Show.
And what's it for? This little empty garden by the brownstone door, and in the cracks along the sidewalk, nothing grows no more.
Dory would say Elton John. Ooh, then you'd try to guess the album.
And then Wyman would guess the wrong song.
Right. Then Dory would say, no. Sad that we have to say Dory would say. All about now past tense. It's so odd, right? And we're 12:31. In about 15 seconds, he'd come back on again. He'd be like, hour number two. Woo, 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 woo. Jake was his producer for almost eight years. So we get a little chance to reminisce here.
Yeah.
This is a bizarre, because I called you, we talked last night, and you were telling me about, it was a lot of the humor, because the thing about the Dory show, yes, you knew we'd be ranting, he would be, you know, holding politicians and government accountable, but it was these weird, odd moments, because... One of the reasons it was some odd stuff. He was so competitive.
Yeah.
That even the most trivial things he would latch on to and then decide he needed to compete on.
Have you ever seen, sorry if this mic is making noise.
Yeah, it's nice.
You ever seen the documentary on Michael Jordan? What was that one that just came out recently? And they show him in the background of some event.
Okay.
And he's playing quarters with the security guys. Yeah. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. But
okay, so this is what Dory was like all the time.
Okay.
And one thing that listeners weren't, you know, made aware of is all of the time that we got to spend on the air was amazing. And a lot of, you know, that was where we had all the laughs and it was fun. But we also shared an office downstairs for years. And he wanted to gamble all the time on anything. And literally, like, you know, those little like Sharpie markers or whatever that writes on the whiteboards. We would sit there on one side of the room and we would toss them. And whoever got closest to the wall, we'd play for quarters all day and like big money. And he always won because he always had some way to like beat me. And, you know, by the time I left here, I was down and I think he forgave me my gambling debt as a goodbye gift. But he was just gambling on everything. Or like, you know, I don't know if you guys remember this, but years and years ago, it's been 7 years since I worked here. But years ago, there used to be a ping pong table downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
And 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be prepping for the show and Dory would be like, let's go get a game. And we'd run in there and we'd play a quick game. And if I beat him, we'd have to play another one. And if I beat him, he'd have to play another one until he beat me. And then he'd be like, all right, we're done. Let's go. He just had to win, you know, but he never did it maliciously.
No.
He was only like, he was like, the best way I can describe him is just like a big brother. You know, he was just the best.
Yeah.
But to set this clip up, we were talking about something. I don't know what we were talking about. Yeah. Nothing, usually. And we got into some conversation about who's a better whistler, because I used to just walk around and, you know, whistle. And Dory's like, no, I'm a better whistler. And so we got in our heads that he got in his head that we should have a competition about this. And so we got a listener whose name was Brock to be the judge or something.
Okay.
And they were going to judge our whistle off, which is what we call it.
Let's skip to the second clip. That's where they actually have the competition.
Here we go. Ready?
The song is Wouldn't It Be Nice If We Were Older?
The Beach Boys song?
Yep.
Do you know the song, Jake?
Whistle a little bit for
Wouldn't it be nice if
I know the song.
We were older? Okay. All right, we're going to go silent in here now. Aaron, you take it away. Call for whistler number one.
Okay, here we go. Wet your whistles. Whistler number one, take it away. All right, whistler number two, your rebuttal. That's not a good start. So what do we do now?
wait a second. Hold on. Wait, give me a chance here.
Game over. After all that build up. What a
Wait. Hold on, Brock. Wait. It was in the wrong key. Wait a second. Hold on. Wait, no, nobody laugh.
Awful.
Nobody laugh. Hold on.
All right. Yeah, let's give it a... Okay, one of us, do it again.
Quiet. Crap. All right, Brooke, who do you pick? Whistler 1 or Whistler 2?
I'll have to go with 1.
Crap.
Yeah.
Dang it. Wait a second.
Dory, I had to come back in for this.
Wait.
That was horrible.
You are sweating right now.
After all that, stage fright?
No, wait. Hold on. I'm dry.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. You heard my whistle. And it was so...
Look at my sweat.
Did you hear how beautiful my whistle was?
This is no joke, but Dory is sweating.
I'm taking my sweatshirt off.
Your eyes are tearing.
I don't know what just happened to me.
You got whistle fright, man. It happens to all of us.
Dang it. Hold on. Okay. All right. So...
Do you want to try this again later?
Oh, geez. Look at this.
You are sweaty.
Like
why
New
are you
York
sweating
Vinny
so much?
What is going on here?
What is going on?
I don't know.
You're not having a stroke, are you? It's horrible.
This might be...
You're really wet.
This might be the worst moment of my radio career.
All of your whistle wetness has been leaked onto your face.
I don't know what
I should have told you, you don't drink your Coke, Diet Coke, before you whistle. Yeah, that messed
water.
You up.
Wait. Oh, no. Oh, man. All my whistle saliva came out my forehead. Okay.
And it looks like your back. And you're sweaty. I've never seen somebody sweat so hard for no reason. Instantly soaked.
We should go to commercial and get this guy a towel.
Oh, my goodness. This is the lowest point in 18 years on the air to lose a whistle off to Jake.
Why is he sweating? Look at his forehead. Can you zoom in on that?
I'm so furious right now at myself. No, don't zoom in.
No, zoom in
no,
on this.
Don't zoom in. No, don't zoom
look
in.
Look at the glisten.
What are you doing? No! Get the camera off me! Get the camera off me! Okay, I don't know what just happened. All right.
That was insane.
Okay, that is your fastest 15.
He was, no joke, instantly wet.
Yeah.
With just flop sweat, nervousness, whatever it was. And, you know, I think we made a comment in there somewhere, but like his back
was covered.
He took off his sweatshirt and his back was just a big wet spot. And, I mean, that's just like a, how long was that clip? That's like a 2 minute clip or something.
Yeah.
Four minutes.
I got the opportunity to sit with this guy for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And we just did that stuff all the time. And whether it was talking about whistling or strapping him to the front of concrete when he was going to get bowled over by a Big Bertha,
yeah,
or talking about my mother as a stripper or whatever it was, this was just the best job. And to be able to come in here and work with a guy like that, it's really tough. He was really, really good at this job, but he was just the best friend, too. And he never had an unkind word to say about anyone.
Yeah.
And I think you said it earlier, he was just a great coach, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't matter if it was coaching girls basketball or if it was coaching his friends at the radio station. He was just very good and helping people along to get better at whatever they were doing because he cared about you. And I'm just going to miss him like hell. And I'm really glad that you guys let me come down here and share some stories about how special he was to me. And to his listeners, too. We're all going to miss him. We were just such big fans of his. It was an honor to sit here and be in the studio with him. So. Why is he sweating? Look at his forehead. Can you zoom in on that?
I'm so furious right now at myself. No, don't zoom in.
No, zoom in
no,
on this.
No, don't zoom in. No, don't zoom
look
in.
Look at the glisten.
What are you doing? No! Get the camera off me! Get the camera off me! Okay, I don't know what just happened. All right.
That was insane.
Okay, that is your fastest 15.
And I saw. Thank you for joining us as we celebrate some of our favorite moments from the Dory Monson Show.
You're listening to a celebration of the best moments in Dory Monson Show history. For more information on the life and career of our friend Dory, please visit MyNorthwest.com.
Hearing music from the new album from Duran Duran, because I heard this morning that the new the entrance into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, leading the list in my heart, was Duran Duran. And the reason they lead the list in my heart is because my friend Durandy, the number one Duran Duran fan on the planet Earth, I just had to reach out to him to see how he's feeling about all of this. Hey, Durandy, it's been a while. How are you?
Dory, this is incredible! I am so struggling to breathe and maintain control, trying to be articulate, and I will give it my best shot, but the emotions are running so high today. We yeah. did it! This is our band! This is my people! We work so hard every single day since mm-hmm. the inductees were announced. We would have been just voting, and like Durannies have made it a part of their morning. They get up, they do the right. vote, then they go about their day, then they try to sure. vote again as much yeah. as possible. Relentless, tireless. We are fierce. We are united. We are yes. Durannies. Oh wow. my God, this is so incredible.
Okay,
oh my
now.
God, the band. Yeah.
I actually thought you were crying when I was introducing you a minute ago.
I'm trying to keep it piped down, but this is my tribe. You know, we have all – everybody sees themselves in a Duran era, in a Duran song. And when we come together during a concert, we are among people who get us, who understand us. This band has provided the soundtrack to our lives.
Right.
We have rallied for 40 years behind this band. And now they are finally getting in, and it's going to be amazing. They deserve it like nobody. Oh, my God.
Wait, like nobody.
See them on stage? Nobody.
They're more deserving Hall of Famers. I mean, like
not
Paul McCartney.
Not walking the planet. This is my opinion. I'm totally objective, right?
Uh-huh.
Totally.
Right, sure, of course.
Duran, I mean, the first time nominated and they get in. How often do you see that? A lot of times they come around again and again. The fans have spoken. They were the number one fan vote, just shy of a million votes. I mean, it was just like poetic. The fans came together. I am so proud of the band. It is incredible. Oh, my God. Dory, I'm hugging you.
I am hugging you through the phone line, Durandy, believe me. But do they know? And I know Simon Le Bon actually recorded your voicemail message, right?
Yes, that was a long time ago.
Do they know how much you care, and do they reciprocate the love that you have for them?
Yes, this past year has been amazing. They have completely endorsed my book. They have really expressed their support. This has been wonderful to me and to the fans. They recently did a 3-day extravaganza on the island of Ibiza, and the fans were just like delighted and elevating and and they're about to go on tour. I mean, this is Duran Duran's year.
Did they fly you out to Ibiza?
I stayed behind. They owe me nothing, okay? I am here with just pure passion and love, and you know, exactly why I'm here for you. Exactly.
Right.
You know.
Passion and love. Okay. I wanted to reach out, and we'll talk again soon because I don't have enough time today, but I wanted to reach out because when I heard this news, of course, you were the first person I thought of, and I was just very, very sincerely happy for you.
Yeah, thank you. We are all trying to hold it together. I mean, this is so powerful for us. 40 years of history and of albums and tours, and finally they get in. And, I mean, I get to see them on stage, we're thinking, okay, we're going to see Warren Cuccarello on stage and maybe Andy Taylor and all the old members. And to see them accept this honor, I mean, there's so much history and so much love.
Are you going to go back east for the induction?
I don't know. I believe the induction ceremony might actually be happening in L.A. this year. But there is a possibility that my contact at the Rock Hall might be able to work with me to put on an exhibit, which I'm really, really excited about. Yes! Well, look, oh, my God.
Here, I say this all the time when I talk to you. If all of us have something in life that we love so much and are so passionate about as you love and have passion for Duran Duran, then we would have a very blessed life.
Oh, I certainly hope everyone finds their Duran Duran, however, what form that speaks to you, that is just about love and happy Teacher Appreciation Week on top of everything. Oh, my God, there's so much reason to celebrate today. Bring Duran Duran into the classroom. So many Duranians do it. Oh, my God, there's so much. Duran holds lessons for kids and future generations. We should write a book together. Yes. Yeah, there's so much to learn.
Isn't Florida passing a law banning Duran Duran in the classrooms?
We are not going to even entertain that prospect. Duran, how can Duran be banned? I mean, they start out in the hearts and they just spread and they encompass the world. You know, that's kind of what they do.
Okay, all right. Duran, I got to go, but I love you, my brother.
Oh, God. Happy induction day, everybody. Duran, may the Duran be with all of us. Oh, such a great day.
See ya.
Celebrating the life and career of Dory Monson. You're listening to the very best of the Dory Monson Show.